again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Okay, today we're going to talk about the four stages, actually five stages of kind of the sexual experience. We're going to talk about desire, arousal, orgasm, and resolution, and
connection.
Right.
We're going to add connection in there.
We're going to add connection as our fifth and actually our first stage. And you brought that up, Adam, because I was talking more about a linear model, which was older Masters and Johnson's, and you brought up the newer model, which includes connection. Could you say a few words about it?
Yeah. Well, I think in part it is more, it's not as linear. It's more circular. And so if you think of it as a cycle, that it's always continually happening. That it doesn't have a stop point and doesn't have an end point in relationship and connection. If you looked at it linearly, connection would tend to come first, but you could also make it come at the end as well of this idea that our connection emotionally, that connecting to our partners in that way is what is jump-starting the
actual event.
The actual event.
So,
yeah.
You know, I kind of described the first four stages of the actual event, but you're saying this is more of an experience that is relational, that is continuous and necessary. And probably it's more of a female model that Bassett is the woman who researched this and talked about it in terms of that females particularly need a sense of connection to experience desire.
That's right. And I think while it is female driven, I think I hear more and more men that describe when it's not there that while they may still be able to have sex, the sex is not as rich for them as it,
right.
as it could be.
I think I wrote a blog about it on Psychology Today, but it's I don't think men want necessarily just sex.
Yes.
But they want eroticism, right?
Yes.
They want sex that is sexy and romantic and connecting and, you know, filled with person-to-person emotions.
Yeah. So, you could think of it, too, as if there is conflict, if the stereotypical way of talking about it might be if she nags him all day or is on him about something and he feels beaten down, or there could be a ton of other things that happen where there's a connection is driven. He may be able to perform and have sex, but it's going to eventually wear down and wear down to where he could pull away and could withdraw from that
right.
because the connection is not there.
Sure. And I think women often talk about that they need the emotional connection, that they need talking and sharing and being together to feel close before they want to be sexual.
Yeah.
I know Esther Perel talks about that there's really this sweet spot of connection and autonomy. I guess when I say intimacy, that to me is the good balance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the good balance between time together and time enough to do my own thing, you know, talking with and sharing, and enough mystery that I feel like I'm not invaded personally, that every thought must be shared, but I have my own sense of who I am, that's a balance. But I think many times it seems like what's missing in the coupleship is, she says, there's not enough time together and connection piece. There's plenty of autonomy, not enough connection.
And I think one of the things that men miss sometimes is that phase starts immediately the next morning. As soon as you're up like that, that building that connection for the next sexual encounter almost starts immediately there. And that when that can be built well, when that happens well, it's going to make it more frequent. It's going to make it better. It's going to make it sooner.
I hear the protests from men who say, "Oh, you know, you're talking about it like it's so much work for the guy. You know, in order to just have sex, which is natural and normal, you're saying that he has to keep working at it."
Well, you know? I think possibly. I don't think it has to be work so much as a part of how you begin to build the rhythms of your couplehood together that naturally incorporate connecting spots. I mean, I can't tell you the number of couples that come in, and the very first thing we do is talk about the amount of time that they're getting together. They complain about problems emotionally, they're fighting, not only that, or they are just missing each other sexually, so they're not having sex, right? And then you look at how much time they're spending together, and they are never, ever together.
I know.
Right? And so they have not built in rhythms where they are naturally connecting. I think we talk a lot about, like, I think Gottman talks about 20 minutes a day, right? That 20 minutes a day is necessary. If you can find 20 minutes a day to connect with your partner, you're going to have more sex.
And doesn't that just sound crazy? 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like 20 minutes is nothing, you know, compared to the hours and hours that we spent together when we were dating. And, you know, those are usually high sexual times.
That's right.
You know, because there's so, you're together so much. And people always say that, but it was so normal back then. It was so natural back then. And I'm like, yeah, well, is it natural to spend 6 hours together, you most days out of the week?
Yeah. You not know? Anymore.
Maybe not anymore. As you have a family to raise and a business to, you know, get on with, a living to make. It's not as normal. And now we're just talking 20 minutes. You got 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in couples, in the beginning of couple relationships, right, the protest might be that it's more work. But you, like you said, in the beginning of the relationship, you're doing that naturally. It's already happening. And as the relationship evolves, it may have to be more scheduled, deliberate, intentional. And so that becomes a difficult, it becomes something that gets naturally missed, though. And then you wonder why the sexual relationship is falling apart and there's no time for connection.
I really like it, though, that you said it.
Not that you didn't say it?
Yeah, because I think it's more powerful coming from a male perspective. I mean, if I said it, I think men out there would just say, oh, same old, same old. That's what my wife is saying. But I think that you brought it up and you seem to really get it in terms of how important that is. It makes a difference.
It does. But I mean, I would protest a little bit, Lori, because I think more men get it than maybe the ones that come in our office don't get it. I think there are more men out there that get it. But I think it's hard for men to maintain because it's not always a natural driver. I think it's the idea of figuring out how to make that connection and how to do it in a way that their partner notices that connection and is connecting for them. I think men try to connect all the time. They do it in a lot of different ways, but it's probably in ways that do not register for
their
wives.
I do think, though, men try to connect sexually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that is a way for them that is deeply connecting. But I think we're talking about a feeling in the relationship where there's a sense of connection. You know who the other one is. You've spent 20 minutes together. You know, okay, 20 minutes, does that count? Now can we jump in a bed?
While the TV is on.
Yeah.
But I think men, though, sometimes, though, try to connect verbally with, like, I mean, I think when they tell her how beautiful she looks, or that she's hot, or I think that those.
I do think sometimes when women say, you know, I want to know his feelings, what she's really saying, guys, is she wants to know your feelings about her, your positive feelings about her.
That's right.
How much you love her, how much you care about her, how much you respect her, how smart you think she is.
Yeah.
You know, one guy said to me, you know, really, I have to, like, flatter her. And that just felt so weird to him.
Yeah.
But to me, I think there is, it's, women are often, you know, very sexual in their earlobe, you know, in their ears.
Yeah.
And it's like they, you know, hearing that kind of love said out loud is a big turn on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think men, a lot of times, and I know we're kind of focusing on that, but I think it's an interesting conversation to me, but that men make attempts all the time. They think that they are doing what they are supposed to do.
Right.
Like, I think we knock men a lot for not being emotional or not being that relational. But I think that men feel like they are doing what they are supposed to do in their relationship. If it's a traditional relationship where he's going out and working hard. I've had a couple in the last couple weeks.
He's doing his job.
He's supporting
his family.
So he feels like that is the connecting
point. For the record,
point.
She's doing her job too.
Absolutely.
She's supporting her family. But I would say women are a great deal more conflicted about that.
Sure.
I mean, men can go out, work, and feel the confidence, I'm doing what I should be doing. And I think women go out and work, and certainly women my age and younger women feel this conflict. I'm not doing what I should be doing. I should be home with the children too. And there's this terrible conflict, but that's maybe another story. But
no,
I will say
no, but I
that
agree
gets
with
in the
that.
Way
I understand
sexually,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
She gets home And now it's time for the children. And she's like, I'm torn in half. I have one patient right now who is a much younger woman than I am. And she just feels like, are you kidding? I'm finally home with the kids. I've been working 50 hours a week. And no, I don't want to go have sex. And I know I don't want to go away with you on the weekend. I want to see my children.
Yeah.
That's why I had kids, which, you know, is the wrong priority. Mm. We know. Ultimately, it's not the priority that will endure.
Right.
Because the marriage has to come first.
But. Right. I absolutely agree. I mean, I can see that dilemma for women at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think maybe a better way to say it is that I think both partners a lot of times feel like they're doing what they're supposed to be doing to make that connection happen.
Yeah.
And so they don't end up talking about it. And so then it gets lost.
Yes.
And so when you think about that as terms of a phase of or a stage of the sexual relationship, like that, I mean, you can see, like, I don't even think we meant to talk about it for this long, but it seems like that's the one a lot of times that gets really missed and that gets confusing for people when they don't have sex.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And if people could master that sense of connection, there would be a lot more happy sexual people around. Well, let's come back, though, talk about what we said in terms also of desire and arousal and orgasm resolution. We're going to do that really fast.
All right.
Okay.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Weekend couples intensives are also offered. Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
Okay, we're back with Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, Lori Watson and Dr. Adam Matthews, and we are here to help couples keep it hot.
That's right.
And today we're talking about kind of the stages of the sexual experience. We've just really hit it hard about how important connection is. And I'd also like to talk about the differences between men and women. We've talked about this before, but I want to go over it again in terms of desire. We're going to start there. You know, men, it's like they're in a car with a tank full of gas. You know, their engine is revved.
Yeah.
And women, it's like we got a hot car and we got a broken starter.
Yeah.
I mean, desire is the place that women's sexuality is the most fragile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are so many things that impact her sense of starting the, you know, once she gets going, even she'll say, like, you know, a low libido woman will say to me, well, once I'm going, I'm really glad I had sex. But it's getting her to the starting gate that is so tough.
Yeah. Lori, I mean, I can hear the protest for some women about that might hear you saying that women don't desire sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think,
sure.
And I don't know that that's what you're saying, right?
No. I'm saying if there is kind of a broken piece, this is generally where it happens.
Is.
No,
okay.
But there's lots of women out there, thank God, who feel sexual desire regularly and sometimes feel more sexual desire than their partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
And you're just saying.
You and I both deal with that all the time.
That's right. Yeah. And for men, I think what I hear you saying is that desire is not typically a place where men struggle.
I don't think so.
Not typically. Sometimes,
no, not typically.
Sometimes that's the case, but most of the time, that's not where men struggle.
Right. Men probably struggle more in functioning and sexual functioning, not so much in wanting. Women struggle a little bit more in wanting and not so much in sexual functioning.
Yeah. So how do we increase desire then? How do we look at that as a stage that can experience some growth?
Yeah, I think that we have to think of it as probably equal burdens. The woman has to do more work in terms of getting her mind going, thinking on things that are sexual, right? When we fantasize about something, you know, we feel more sexual.
Yeah.
And that is what happens early on in relationship is we're always anticipating, which is a type of fantasy, what's going to happen. We're going to get together. We're going to go on a date. We're going to see each other. Wow, this is going to happen. This is so hot. And we can do that when we're married and when we're committed. Mm-hmm. We can fantasize about what did happen, the memory, what might happen. Mm-hmm. But I think it's natural for men to think that way because their body pushes them with all that testosterone. Men have hundreds of times more testosterone than women, and that is the hormone that governs the physiological hunger for sex.
Okay.
You know, men have 1,000 nanograms per deciliter. Women have, when they are 18, they have 76. And so that's, you know, like 10 times, right? No, 10 times, 100 times difference.
100 times, yeah.
At her peak. Mm. You know, and then when she's 40, that's in half. When she's menopausal, it's infinitesimal. You know, so a guy, his testosterone decreases, but I mean, unfortunately, he just has this massive amount and she has very little. I think he can share that sense of desire through good seduction. You know, if he will be a good seducer, that will really help.
Yeah.
You know, so dating her, taking her out, telling her she looks good.
It sounds like, too, talking about what's going to happen, helping to build kind of that fantasy somewhat might be helpful.
Yeah.
Or you say, your face is saying no.
I think it's so dicey if you're a guy. I think this is my advice to the women is that they need to think about it.
I see.
They need to develop an erotic self that is independent of his doing that, you know, even of his seduction. I mean, they have to have, in order to have a long-lasting physical sexual relationship that's great, you have to be independently erotic. Just like for men, in order to sustain an erotic relationship with a woman, you have to be good at connection.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've
seen a couple who I just love dearly and, you know, he keeps everything to himself. You know, it's like he comes home from the day, he's lived that day, he doesn't want to talk about it, he doesn't want to share with her what's going on for work, he's exhausted. But she's, you know, dying for stimulation. She's been home with the kids and she needs to know who he is, and him coming home is important to her. And she wants to download her day and he's just done.
Yeah.
You know, but he wants sex. And, you know, and she fortunately, I think, wants sex too. But, and her too, she's, you know, she's tired all the time. She's exhausted. And it's like both of them have these equal tasks. She's got to be erotic. He's got to be better at connection.
Yeah. And so that's going to increase desire.
Yeah. And it'll increase desire and it'll increase sex.
Let's talk briefly about arousal.
Okay. Yeah. Arousal. So, you know, for women, I hate to say this again, but it takes us so long. You know, it takes 20 minutes of kind of being in the actual moment before women really like to be touched explicitly. So they don't like their breast touched. They don't like their vulva touched until they are aroused. And I know that's crazy. It's like, okay, you know, because then it takes her about 20 minutes of direct stimulation, clitoral stimulation, to reach orgasm. And the guy's saying like, okay, you just told me, you know, it's like, I got to give her 20 minutes of undivided attention. Then I got to give her another 20 minutes of, you know, like sort of sexual something that I don't really know what that is. And then there's 20 minutes of touching. It's like, holy Toledo. It's an hour. And yeah, it is. It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
And if you can make it great for her, I mean, many times that's what, you know, she needs.
Yeah.
And men say all the time, though, I would do that. I would stand on my head for her and she won't let me do that for her.
Yeah. Well, and again, for men, this stage is much faster.
And much.
I mean, arousal is
boom. Erection. They're ready to have intercourse, and And, you know, it could take him 5 minutes, eight minutes. 8 minutes is average, guys, just for the record.
I'm just going to roll right over that one.
8 minutes.
which can be frustrating. I mean, I think when when one member is aroused in a minute and the other takes 20, there's going to be some waiting.
There is some frustration. And on both people's part. I mean, as a woman, I'd kill for testosterone that would produce that. Mm. Absolutely. There's frustration that way as well. And I think I can understand a male frustration of like, you know, I can get it done, you know, so quickly. And and it's like, well, you know, you married a woman.
Yeah.
You know, well, that is part of the problem.
And so how do we overcome that waiting? Waiting issue
one way I think weeknights, vibrators, you know, yeah. I'm just going to be explicit here, but
go ahead.
I mean, come on, who has time for that on a weeknight? You know,
you got things to do, shows to watch.
That's right. You know, let's get that thing done. You know, I mean, I do think that it is electronically, you can kind of compensate for those stages.
Yeah.
And that can be fun. And I don't think either one should feel like that somehow or another cheating it. Yeah. It's just like, well, this is great. This is a way that we get connected. And then maybe reserve the weekends for those longer times that you have the leisure. You have at least an hour to be together.
Yeah. And what about orgasm? Let's talk about orgasm.
Now, this is where we shine, I got to say. You know, women can have multiple orgasms and probably have, I think, a longer, maybe better orgasm than men. Yeah. You know, and for guys, this is an area of problematic stuff, right, of functioning. Sometimes he thinks he comes too quickly, which, by the way, you know, that is one of the easiest fixes for sex therapy. Same with a woman who doesn't come at all, who doesn't have an orgasm. That's an easy fix. If she's anorgasmic, that means she doesn't have an orgasm. Easy, easy fix. Or maybe he loses his erection and he can't climax. And this is probably a big problem area, mostly for men. I mean, there is about 25% of women out there who don't have orgasms or have never had an orgasm.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, people we see every day of the week. Yeah. I think most of it is they haven't had enough stimulation. So, or maybe they're saying the questions to ask her are, have you ever had one? It's hard to say, I've had one by myself. You know, I think that people are loath to talk about their masturbation habits. Or they might say, I used to and I don't anymore. And that probably means, you know, they gave up, the woman gave up on his technique, or she gave up on, you know, telling him something that she did need and he didn't listen. Women are often whispers when it comes to what they really want sexually. So I think if you're a guy, you just be humble and you say, you know what, you might have told me, but would you tell me again? Mm-hmm. I really want to know what pleases you and just tell me again, you know, what it takes, or show me, which is a super vulnerable thing, but it would be lovely if she would do that.
I think the only thing I'd say about men in this stage is, while you said it's the problem area for men, I think men are do not want to talk about that if it is not working the way that they are expecting it to work.
Right.
Because desire is quick, because arousal is quick, we expect orgasm. And by quick, I mean it just works.
It should just work.
It just work. And so orgasm should just work too. And so I think maybe the expectation is that when it doesn't, that we're not going to talk about it, or we think that orgasm is not going to require talking to our partners or figuring out some of the tricks that you're talking about that make it better.
And I think one of the current things that we're seeing is men who can't climax, right? Mm-hmm. Who are having trouble reaching climax. Their erections are fine, but they can't climax. And I mean, a lot of times I worry that they're using too much porn, so they kind of have conditioned their minds to climax only with super, super high levels of arousal. Mm-hmm. So you might want to just, you know, test that and see if cutting back on that allows you to climax more easily. Yeah.
Absolutely. So resolution, real quick.
Resolution,
not a lot to say about this,
say,
but important.
That's because you're a man.
Maybe so.
But I think men do typically physiologically fall asleep. And women, I got to say, often wake up. And so that's why she wants to talk and cuddle and be close, because, you know, orgasm has stimulated her in a way that she feels more alert, more in need of contact, and he's like out cold. So the solution, do it before you go out. Do it on Friday night early so that
you
have it you know, you have this connection, and then you go out, and there's kind of this secret between the two of you. You've already been connected. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sweet. That's it. That's
there you go.
Okay, you're listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your hosts, sex therapist Lori Watson and Dr. Adam Matthews. Thanks for listening to us. Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.